Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, and I'll share from verse 12 to verse 20. Continuing a series of sermons entitled Meeting Jesus, basically looking in the Gospel of John at the different times that Jesus is introducing himself as I am, and then he fills in the blank. And last week it was I am the bread of life. And today, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And so might his word speak to us today as we follow along in his word. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him, here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. And they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me, he said, or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Jesus spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offering was put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. May the Lord encourage us and lift us up and build us up by his word, so that the word of God is the foundation upon which our lives stand. Amen. Amen. Today in our scripture, Jesus introduces himself to us as the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. Today, as I share from this, I want to share two different perspectives on Jesus being the light of the world. The first is this, that Jesus is the light of the world, and as the light, he is shining on the Father, the Heavenly Father. He is shining on the Father and establishing the kind of connection that he has with the Father, but also want to say this, as the light of the world, Jesus is revealing the Father so that we too can have a connection with the Father. It's not just so that we'll have knowledge of the Father, but I believe it goes far beyond knowledge to experiencing God the Father. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He's speaking to them and wanting to shine light on the Father. And I want to expound on that a little bit by leading you to look further in that chapter down to verse 27 through verse 29. Verse 27 says this, they, and that is the crowds that he was talking to, they did not understand what he was telling them about the Father. So Jesus says this, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me, that is the Father, is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Jesus is saying that through his words and actions, Jesus is shining light on being connected to God the Father. Now, how is Jesus connected to God the Father? Well, he says this. He says that he does nothing on his own. But all that he does, he has learned from the Father. All that he does is in obedience to the Father because of the connection, the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. But not only through his actions, what he does, but it's also what he speaks. He says he only speaks what the Father has taught him. Jesus is connected to the Father through his actions and through his words. And his life is shining light as the light of the world on who the Father is and how it is that Jesus is connected to the Father. Jesus is connected to his Heavenly Father so closely that all of his actions and all of his words are directly aligned with God. Jesus' words and his actions serve as a light that shines on the Father. As the light of the world, Jesus knows two things are true: that the Father is with him, and that the Father is always pleased by him. Those two realities, that the Father is always with him, and that Jesus is always pleasing the Father, those two realities are always true in the Gospels, with only one exception. Do you know what that exception is? When Jesus was on the cross. And in that experience of being crucified, one of the things that Jesus cries out is, "My God, why have you forsaken me? You have always been with me. Everything that I have done, everything that I have said, I've learned from you. You've always been with me. I have pleased you in all that I've done. Why have you forsaken me?" As the light of the world, Jesus was connected to the Father. And if that one moment on the cross, he is not connected to the Father, certainly after the cross, there's a glorious reconnect between God the Father and Jesus the Son. As the light of the world, Jesus is still connecting us to God the Father. His light shining helps us to see and be aware that God the Father is with us, just like God the Father was with Jesus. As the light of the world, he's shining his light on the Father so that we can know something about God, and that is that God is with us. He is near us. And we know that that's true about God. Yes, the scriptures teach it. We can find places in the Bible that where that is in the text and in black and white on the page. But we know this also because Jesus is the light, and as the light of the world, Jesus is revealing to us that God is near to us, that God is with us. It goes from more than just being a head knowledge that we read about to a heart knowledge that we experience, because Jesus is showing that God is near to us. This morning you may feel that God is not with you. You might feel that God is about as far away and distant as he can get. You can't seem to hear any word that he might would speak into your heart or your mind. You don't have a sense of his nearness to you. But Jesus Christ pushes back against that sense that God is far and distant. You see, one of the things that if the enemy could convince us that God is far and removed from us, that he is not near us, there's a victory there for the enemy. because of the impact that that has on us. Because usually when we have that sense that God is far and distant and removed from us, we're already kind of down in a bad place. And if the enemy can convince us that God is even further away from us and more distant from us, then there's a victory for the enemy in our lives. And so Jesus pushes back against what the enemy would want to convince us of, that God is far and removed from us. As the light of the world, Jesus pushes back on the lie of the enemy. And his light reveals, it opens it up, it shows where God is. The light of Jesus reveals that God is near us and with us. And any lie that would tell you that God is far away and distant and doesn't care, you have and has no thought of you or has no care for you at all, is a lie of the enemy. And so Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, pushes back against the enemy. As the light of the world, Jesus Christ is always revealing that God the Father is with you and with me, even in suffering, even in difficulty. Now, if you find yourself in a place of suffering or difficulty, I can empathize with you. Not that my experience is the same as yours, but I know what it feels like to be in a place of suffering, in a place of difficulty. And when I've been in those places, I don't always know how or when God's closeness will be revealed to me. But it's not up to me to fight to find God. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and as the light of the world, he reveals that God is with me, even when I suffer, and even when it's difficult. Just like I don't know how and when the Lord will reveal that to me, I don't know how or when the Lord will reveal to you in your place of suffering or difficulty that God is with you. I don't know how and when God the Father's closeness will be revealed. It may be in a provision that comes to you out of nowhere. And as it were, in a moment or in a day or in an afternoon or in a week, God comes along and there's a provision that comes to you from God. And through that provision that is given, God's nearness is revealed. It may be in a sense of peace that God brings to you, reminding you that he is at work. Jesus says that he gives a kind of peace that the world does not give, that the peace of God surpasses our ability to understand it. And it may be that the light of Christ reveals that God is near when that kind of peace comes back to you. You don't know how it gets there, you don't know when it gets there, but there is something when God's peace comes back to you. Maybe God is revealed and his nearness to you is revealed when there's a knowledge that he gives you that you did not have before that helps you to know the direction that you should go. And in a moment or in an afternoon or in a week, you get the sense that God is near you, that God is with you because God has given you knowledge that you needed. It may be that God's nearness to you is revealed by renewed strength that God gives you to make it one more day. Maybe it's the courage that God gives you to stand as Jesus stood before Pilate. that you are given the courage to stand like Jesus. Not to stand and fight, but to stand with a quiet spirit and a firm stance. Jesus's light, Jesus as the light of the world, shines on God and reveals that God is near. He is with you. You may think that he's far away from you, that he doesn't care for you, that he has no blessing for you, no provision for you. But I tell you this morning that the light of the world reveals that God is near to you and to me. He cares for you. He provides for you. And I cannot tell you how or when God's nearness will be revealed to you, but I believe and I know that it will be, and that God will reveal his nearness to you. You do not have to search and find him. God is with us. And when Jesus' light reveals that God is with us like that, then the second thing also becomes evident, that we can begin to know what it is that pleases the Father. Sometimes we think we have to live a particular kind of life. We have to perfect our lives, or we have to, to become the kind of Christians that we believe are good and righteous and perfect. And until we achieve that mark and that place and that standing before God, then there's really nothing that God has for us. We're not really pleasing to God. We cannot please God. But when Jesus, as the light of the world, shines, we know that God is near, but we also know what pleases God. Not only does the light of the world shine on the Father so that we can see and know that he is near, it also shines on us, revealing so much to us about ourselves. If you were to read John 8 closely, you would see that Jesus is in a kind of debate with the people. He's debating with them, like he always did, about who God really is. There's a lot of good meat, spiritual meat, in John 8 that I can't touch on today. I'd like to revisit it, though, in the next week. But he's carrying on this debate with the people that he's speaking to. And it's interesting, in verses 23 and 24 of chapter 8, Jesus says this: "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." Jesus, the light of the world, is revealing the Father, but he's also revealing something about the people. He's telling them something about himself, about themselves. That Jesus is the light of the world shows us the Father, but it also shows us. But thank God there is a way of life that pursues not my pleasure, but God's pleasure. There is a way of life that pursues my pleasure and not God's pleasure. And Jesus says that that will always lead to a kind of dying, a kind of death. But thank God there is a way of life that leads to God's pleasure, not my pleasure. In Ephesians 4, you can turn there if you want to, Ephesians 4 and 22, verse 22. The Apostle Paul writes about this different way of life. The Apostle Paul writes about a way of life that is bringing God pleasure, not a way of life that is bringing me pleasure. Now listen to how that kind of God-pleasing life is described. And I want to point this out, that living a life that is God-pleasing rather than self-pleasing is not so much something that I discipline myself to do. It is not something that that I work hard and work hard enough and I get spiritual enough and I grow deeper spiritually so that I get the mess worked out in my life and I can now begin to walk more righteously and more pleasing with God and I finally arrived. No. The God-pleasing life really is something that God is working in you, so that it can be lived out, so that he can live it out through you. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Listen to how this is God at work in us. Paul writes this, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life." And if we were to be honest, we might all be able to describe a former way of life. "You were taught to put off that old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds," to be made new. So someone is making us new in our minds. "And to put on the new self, created," someone is creating the new self, "to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You see, God is forming that new self in us. He's creating it. Verse 25, "Therefore, each of you," and so he begins to list kind of a description of a life that pleases God, not a life that pleases self. And so, and you might want to either underline them in your scriptures, or you might want to jot them down on the page there, of just descriptions of this life that God is creating in us that pleases him, not that seeks to please me. "Therefore, each of you, put off falsehood," no more lying, no more deceit. "Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, to others, for we are all members of one body." Verse 26, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." So deal with your anger. Let God deal with your anger. Don't be angry anymore. Verse 27, "Do not give the devil," our enemy, "a foothold in any way." Verse 28, "Anyone who has been stealing," don't steal anymore. It's that simple, that practical. Stop stealing. Stop taking something for yourself that isn't yours. Sometimes that's actual stuff. Sometimes it's kind of intellectual property. You're stealing, taking something for yourself that does not belong to you. Stop it, Paul says. "And work, do something useful with your own hands that they may be, that you may have something to share with those in need." Verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful," only that which builds people up. Don't let the kind of talk come out of your mouth that beats people down. But coming out of your mouth, let the things that come out be edifying, building up others, but only what is helpful, that it may benefit those who listen. Verse 30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God," that Holy Spirit that is doing that work of creating in you a life that pleases God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, "Get rid of or do not let occupy your life bitterness or rage or anger." Don't fight. No brawling, whether that's with your fists or whether it's with your mouth. No brawling. Don't slander others, along with every form of malice. In verse 32, this perhaps summarizes what this life is that pleases God. Be kind and be compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. Amen. This is the life that pleases God. And the light of Christ shines not only on the Father to reveal that He's near us, but it shines on our life to show us who we are and to reveal to us that God is at work in us to create and fashion in us lives that please Him and not lives that seek to please ourselves. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He shines on the Father to let us know that He is near. And He shines on us to show us a life lived for God is what brings God pleasure. May the light of the world shine brightly in us and on us and around us today. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. May it speak to us. Lord, illumine and shine Your light upon our Heavenly Father that we may know that He is near to us and with us. And might Your light shine brightly in us to show us what a life that seeks to please You looks like, and that You are fashioning that life in us. Lord, in that place of suffering and difficulty today, would You find us there? Would we find You already there to meet us, to embrace us, to hold us, to guide us? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand.